While the presentation's loaded, I'm Jared Schultz from the Division of Public Health Informatics at the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental Control. I'll be demonstrating a few of the things here that we've done to enhance some of our FIN type of systems and other systems in the agency, and how we've kind of used GIS as an integration tool across the board. This is a slide. I'm similar. Every group with every agency in here has a similar type of slide that lays out systems in the agency. We've got systems in different program areas, our lab system, our infectious disease systems, our vital records, our environmental facilities, strategic national stockpile, health facility. We've just got all sorts of systems. These systems have been developed over time in different program areas with different technology, different databases, different programming languages, different protocols, different security. If we were rebuilding the agency from scratch, of course, we'd build a core, build all of our systems off of them with one standard data model, and so we could exchange data and do all those great things. But the reality is these systems have been developed over time, and we want to use the data in the different systems to make better decisions across the board. So the little slide here is showing you this bottom left-hand, right-hand corner. It's how we've used GIS and geography, the one common component in all of our systems, where the case was diagnosed, residence address, a facility, a location, anything. All the data has geography in it. Since we've standardized and we produce our own GIS layers in the agency, we've got a web-based GIS system running on the inter and intranet. We can overlay all these data sets together, and all the different groups in the agency can make decisions based on all the data, while all the data stays in their particular data repositories with their security and their constraints. So it's worked out real well to let people work together, and maybe some lines have been drawn in the sand in the past, and maybe this helps us get through it a little bit. When I talk about GIS in this presentation, I'm not just talking about the software or the hardware. The way I look at GIS is it's the expertise, the data, the organization, and the hardened software. We've got particular procedures, data, practices. So people in air quality understand air quality data much better than I ever would. People in water quality can delineate watersheds. People in vital records understand ICD classifications. People in Division of Acute Disease Epi understand, you know, how they're using, you know, LOINC and SNOMED codes and everything else. And, you know, we found that if we can embed GIS people in the different bureaus around the agency, divisions that understand what's going on in those areas, they're better equipped to help. And we have some divisions and bureaus in the agency that don't have any GIS expertise or support, so we're using some web services to serve them out some things that they need so that they can leverage off the experience that we have. So, I mean, this little slide is representing, you know, Bureau of Air Quality, Water Quality, Land and Waste Management, Coastal Resource Management, FISIS. All these groups have embedded GIS experts. We all get together, and it's funny, the theme of this conference is this communities of practice, because we've had a community of practice that's been functioning over the past 5 years. The lead GIS person from each one of the program areas gets together the third Thursday of the month. We all talk about what we're working across the board. We find out that something that they're doing in air quality can be used for something that we're doing in vital records, or vice versa. So it's worked out real well for us, and I think it's going to be a good architecture for the CDC to move forward with. I'm not going to read everything on the slide. You all probably know what most of these systems are. I just tried to do a little bit of an inventory of the FIN-related, FIN-primary, different systems around the agency, and most all these systems have a GIS component on one level or another. And I'm not going to get into all these, and these are by no means all of them, but I'm going to be touching on some of them and how we've integrated them. Embedded GIS and FIN-related public health applications. So what does that mean? The first system I want to cover is our implementation of HON called REACH-SC. This system is a completely web-based system and complies with a lot of the FIN requirements. It's co-located with a reverse 911 system in the emergency management division that's staffed 24/7. We've got a lot of context in there. It's used for a lot of different purposes. It's got a lot of different notification capabilities. We're actually looking at expanding that system out. You know, the philosophy that I try to go by is if a system's just used in an emergency, people aren't going to be trained. It may not work in an emergency. If it's used every day for routine things, you know, we can do regular public health stuff with things that are funded with different grant money, but we can use routine daily activities to make sure that they work and people are trained. So, you know, the money's here to design this, but we need this, so, you know, let's design these things together. So we're investigating a bunch of different uses in the agency right now for our notification system. This is the interface for the system. Once you get in, you can do all sorts of different types of notifications. The one I'm going to be focusing in on right now is a GIS-based notification. We actually serve out data in web-based services right now that are then added to this mapping service over at the State Emergency Management Division and leveraged so that I can do notifications geographically. I can call any point on this map, any of these facilities through this system and have complete tracing and recording behind them. And I'll explain the fact that in a later slide that this health facility layer that's linked here is actually linked back, served in my organization and linked to the licensing database. So if a hospital's license is pulled today and I do a notification the next week, it's there. I don't have to provide an update to the data. It's a virtual data warehouse, a linked architecture, geographically fusing the data so I can do this notification. I don't have to maintain things in multiple different locations. With this map, you can zoom into an area. We have residential and business data that's in here too that we purchased from a commercial data provider. Do an on-screen selection. In this circumstance, it's going to be businesses. Turn back the results of all the businesses in that area. Generate a quick file. You can also, you can do geographic selections. You can do selections based on standard industry codes, based on zip codes, based on any attribute that you maintain in that GIS layer. Zip codes, attributes, phone numbers. You generate a file through the standard GIS software. I can then export that file out, pull it into our notification system, and then I could either type in a message here that would then do text-to-speech and call these people and have full reporting behind the scenes, or I can have it set up so that it'll call back my number and I record a message and I listen to the message, and if everything's all right, then I send it, then it goes to an approver with financial authority to approve the whatever the phone calls cost. Then it'll go out, then I've got full reporting capabilities. You can see a lot of the different notification methods down here don't work through the GIS component. You can only do call-outs through the geography component. What we've done, you know, the back end of the HAN system is Active Directory, the whole FIN contact list type of thing. Well, we've integrated our ESAR VIP system, which is called SC-Serve, the LDAP on the back end with our HAN, you know, reverse 911 system. So anybody that we get in our ESAR VIP credentialing system that's credentialed, that LDAP is accessible through the interface of our other system, and we could call, let me call all the credentialed physicians in Richland County. Or so on and so forth. So we've utilized that front-end notification architecture and linked it on the back end with the LDAP. The next system I want to talk about is the NED system. This system's been presented by Claire Youngblood earlier today. Our NED system is called CHESS. It's a CDC-based system. It's got all sorts of nice things built into it. And you know, other people have talked about this. I don't want to go into that. I want to talk about the GIS component that we built onto this. Basically, what happens with the NED system is they get these ELRs in, and there's a operational data store, and there's a reporting database. Some of the developers over in DADE, the Division of Acute Disease Epi that maintains the system, developed a unique way where they can generate a unique key that looks at all the data in the reporting database every day, sends off all of the locations, whether whatever address is tied to that particular case, to a composite geocoding web service that I have on the intranet that it runs off E911 centerline files and nationwide street files, and pretty soon it's going to run off point level address databases that I'm getting from the different counties, and it will map out all of those addresses and insert the X and Y in geographic, the X and Y in a local projection tags, levels of accuracy, map to the exact street, map to the street range, map to a zip centroid, county centroid, state centroid. And actually one thing they've asked for here recently is to geoprocess and turn back county so they can then populate the county in the records where they're not getting county so they have additional reporting. All that information is on a service. It's inserted back into their business data. So I don't house the infectious disease data in a database on my end. It's all housed right where it's supposed to be, which is in the NED system, but they have all the information they need to make it spatial, even though it's not a traditional SDE layer or a shapefile or a coverage. It's just coordinates that we then render on the fly with server technology. This little viewer that we've put together here, you can go in and select your disease types, go in and select your date ranges, and you can see the dates or the types of dates that they need to look at: investigation start date, date reported state, county, diagnosis date, illness onset date. You can filter by zip codes or counties. You can filter by any demographic, race, age group, or sex. And you can also filter based on our tiers. And these tiers represent, like, a less than or equal to 8 would mean that I'm relatively confident in the location of the point on the map. And it mapped back to the national map and accuracy standards, and all that information is available. When you do this, and you can also do case status filters, it'll then generate a table with information for you. And then it shows you the query that you ran. And then you can go look through this table. You can sort the table by any one of the attributes that you want. And you can uncheck or check points here, then send those directly to the map and map them out. Then you launch this map. And this map is actually mapping out this infectious disease data that's not spatial. It's not a GIS layer. It's all being rendered. The geometry is being rendered on the fly. And so they've got this viewer now. And so you see the cases of whatever disease type you were looking at. Well, in real time, I overlay that with all the licensed food service facilities in the state that I am linked directly to the licensing database. So you can go in here and find any restaurant that's got a B, C, or D in the last 6 months on their inspection scores. Idea being, if you mapped out all the salmonella cases that were involved in a particular outbreak and overlaid it with all the food service facilities in the state and, you know, did like a mean geographic center or some other type of, you know, simple analysis, it would maybe give the Epi folks a little more information to conduct their investigation. It's not, you know, replacing anybody. It's not going to solve any problems, but it just gives them another tool to analyze and visualize their data. We've also overlaid census block data, rendering the population. We could overlay socioeconomic data, poverty data, any of the other data sets that I have in my agency, air quality data, water quality, you know, low birth weight babies, whatever I want. I could overlay it on this system very easy. These two layers that you're seeing here, street map and imagery, are actually served out from ArcGIS Online Services. So I, even though I have imagery in my own agency, it makes more sense to add it from California because I can render it faster and it's less overhead. And so this particular map has taken infectious disease data, census data, environmental health data, imagery and street map data from all sorts of different sources, fusing it all together in one environment, and I could add whatever other layers we needed. We've also had a little tool here to do spatial temporal analysis where you can generate your file, do an export, it'll build a KML file on the fly, and it'll open up Google Earth. And the reason why I did this was you've got this little temporal swipe tool. So I key in on the date of whatever date that they filtered on, and then I can run this swipe tool, and you can see the cases progress through space and time on the map as the data is reported in the system, and then they're rendered based on the case status. If it's confirmed, it's red, probable, suspect, they're all laid on there. Then when you close this up, it goes ahead, asks you, do you want to save your temporary file? No, it's done. So whatever computer you are viewing that on, there's no trace, there's no history of that file. Nobody had to export confidential data out of some system to analyze it. It's all the data still set in exactly where it should be, which is in the NEDS database. We've been playing around with some other things. You know, this is census data rendered here. We've actually got it set up now where we can do spatial analysis. What you see in the bottom right-hand corner there is a crude density analysis. It's not adjusted for population. It's not showing you anything useful right now. What I was trying to prove that even without having an actual GIS layer, I can still do spatial processing on data that I'm rendering the geometry on the fly. Now that we've done that, we can do hotspot analysis, mean geographic center, directional ellipses, whatever it is that we want to do with the system, because with the server technology, I expose everything on the desktop to the server. So we're just kind of scratching the surface there. Another project we're working on is the BioSense DigiNet project, and that's another session for this particular grouping of presentation, so I'm not going to get into that, but you know, it's a very exciting project too that's looking at spatially fusing data from different nodes in different locations. Another project that we have is the EOC Drills secure web-based mapping system, which basically is a protected website where I serve out all of my flood data, my, you know, school data, my surface water intakes, public water supplies, nuclear power plants, and people use this for situational awareness via GIS so they can see what's going on around them. It's got all sorts of nice tools built in. You know, emergency responders can enter in their coordinates and zoom to that spot on the map or do all sorts of the normal things that GIS can do. Emergency hurricane sheltering systems also hosted through my area. And basically what that is there's a public face to the system. Whenever the emergency operation plan is released, they specify the regular, the mass shelters, the special medical need shelters. I GPS all those facilities, link them up through the system. So if we open shelters, the public can go in and enter their address and find the closest shelter to their house and get driving directions to it. Nurses, emergency responders can go and do reports by counties and regions and capacities and get driving directions. And so when we need to send a nurse from Richland County to go staff a shelter on the coast, they don't know where they're going. You know, we can go into here and print out directions for them and, you know, promote new shelters. If a tree falls on a shelter, we need to open up another shelter. I've got a list of 6,000 potential locations, schools, civic centers, health facilities, and we can promote those and they're instantly available on the website. There's different, you know, visual cueing here. This is closed, it's red. You've got different sections, role-based access. So American Red Cross can edit one section, DSS one section, and DHEC one section for special medical needs. Neither one of those groups have mapping capabilities, so I give them full mapping capabilities through this online system, and everybody can see what's going on kind of under the NIMS architecture, operate from the same sheet of music, I guess. This is another system we've embedded GIS in. And the gist behind the critical data sheet system is if a category 3 or less hurricane is moving in off the coast of South Carolina and say a hospital or nursing home wants to shelter in place because they feel that they have all the plans in place they need to do that successfully, they can contact us and say, well, you know, it's less than Cat 3, we want to shelter in place. We can get on here, they enter in all their information, go in, find their facility, look at it on a map, see what relationship it is to surge zones and evacuation routes. We can pull up that facility, look at their wind load report that's signed by an engineer that they've uploaded, all their emergency plans, is their generator connected, or is their water supply connected to the generator, how many feet above mean sea level is their generator, who they have plans in place to evacuate to, who's going to shelter if they have to shelter, and all this information is online. The facilities love it. They've got mapping capabilities that they didn't have before. They can access all their emergency operation plans from their home. We can access all of them in real time. They can update it whenever they want. And we have the information we need. It's not sitting in some filing cabinet somewhere when we need to have access to it. Well, how do we get all this data? I mean, it's easy to make a map. It's harder to get the data, maintain the data, and keep the data current. We geocode data. Now, geocoding data's got some problems, as I'm sure everybody's aware of, but we're looking at geocoding against point-level address databases generated from parcels or GPS utility meters. So, you know, pretty soon geocoded data will be GPS accurate, and it is in some cases. We go out and do field data collection. We digitize off of ortho imagery, obliques, and all sorts of other things, too. So we get data lots of different ways. This composite geocoding service that I mentioned earlier is served out on our intranet. Researchers come in and they want to look at our cancer data and do analysis. They come in with data that they've geocoded against Tiger Line files. They try to compare it with the data that I've geocoded against E911 Centerline files. There's all sorts of problems with doing that. Somebody can come into our network, upload 10,000 points, geocode them, put coordinates back out, then their data's mapped the same way as our data. Not that the way we're mapping the data is perfect and there's no problems with it, but then at least whatever bias is in our data is in their data too, so that they can move forward without having to worry about that so much. The service can be accessed a number of different ways. In the NEDS instance, they do a batch file, then every day they compare and resend the new records. All of our birth and death certificates that are registered in real time, as soon as those certificates are registered, I map them out. So I can map out low birth weight babies born in the last 2 weeks if I want to. And you can access it via the database level, the application level, uploads. This returns all sorts of information back to the systems. The health facilities and the restaurants, the business data, like the inspections are updated all the time, licenses are updated all the time, bed capacities are updated all the time. I cannot sync my GIS layer attributes all the time with this unless this is an automated process. So every week I pull across the most current business data on all the licensed health facilities and restaurants in the state. I maintain the geometry, they maintain the attributes, I get a current layer. I pull across the business data, map it out, put points on a map and serve it out to the public. You can go to our website and say, show me the hospital closest to my house, and it's the hospital closest to your house, not the hospital that was closest to your house 2 months ago. We do a lot of field data collection. This is a project, a rapid needs assessment that's implementing the World Health Organization methodology to go out after an emergency and see what's going on, where the public health needs are. Do field data collection for hospitals and shelters and so on. We take that data and we get it out to the public a lot of different ways. We have emergency response DVDs that we cut that we stick on laptops for emergency responders. You can zoom in. You got all sorts of information at different scales that people have on their laptops if they're disconnected from the network. Map books, nuclear emergency response planning zones around all of our nuclear facilities. We map, do facilities mapping. You know, we're real concerned with hurricanes and flooding, so we can look at where our facilities are at and see whether they fall into the different inundation zones based on slosh data. This is an example of how GIS is used to integrate all sorts of different data. This is looking at population data from the census based on our districts at the time. It's looking at land area data for our districts. It's looking at a certain demographic, and this is based on race, this is ethnicity. And these are Ryan White title funds, financial data, caseload data, incidence data. All that data together was used to make a decision on how to allocate funds more equitably among our districts. So it integrated data from all over the place to make a better decision. We do a lot of advanced spatial analysis. We're using SatScan, TerraSeer, CrimeStat, DMAP, all these different tools that are out there that can do different types of spatial analysis, trying to figure out what's the best one to use in different circumstances. Source water protection, a lot of stuff is going on the environmental side of the agency. You know, locate our air quality monitoring stations, web-based systems, use imagery to do permitting, coastal issues, things like that. The main dissemination tool that we have in the agency is called SCAN. It's the South Carolina Community Assessment Network. I think we get on the average, it's been over 20 million hits since its inception, 1.5 million visitors worldwide. I think the system went fully live in maybe 2002. We serve out our birth data, death data, cancer data, and provide all sorts of different output options. This is the new module called the Community Profile module. So the user can go in and select whatever geographic unit that they want, regions, counties, some of our maps have zip codes. And then they can go in and select their row and column variables, their indicators, whatever demographic they want, whatever output function they want, generate a quick table, or this is actually generating a bar chart right now, and it's showing our Healthy 2010 objectives. Where do we need to go to get to our Healthy 2010 objectives? You can generate maps on the fly with the system too, and it will go in and it'll show you the crude rates, the frequencies, statistics. You can get it for any geographic region, but it's more useful because you can see how's my county compare with all the other counties. Is it significantly higher or lower? Then you can look at the 2010 objectives. Has this county hit the 2010 objectives on where it needs to be? Our agency strategic plan is focused around 2010 objectives. So rather than just giving the numbers and the rates, we put them in context that people can understand a little bit better. And then all this different data that we've collected, people want to do their own stuff with it. We have an enterprise data server. People can download any of the data that are publicly accessible, and they can run their own analysis on it. Some of the data that's not publicly accessible, they can put in an FOI request and get that if they need to also. And I mean, that's by no means all that we're doing in the agency, but gives you a pretty good example of some of the stuff that we've used GIS as kind of a informatics systems integration tool. Sure. Questions? Well, in the Division of Public Health Informatics, I think I've got five right now. I've got one that maintains our systems. He's my ArcIMS, ArcSD, ArcGIS server guy. I've got a girl that specializes in spatial statistics and cartography. I've got somebody that specializes in mobile GIS. I've got somebody who specializes in emergency response in GIS. And then another person's kind of my administrative manager that handles all my map requests coming in. But that's just in my division. That's pretty much it on the health side of the agency. There's a lot of folks that know GIS, but nobody with a GIS title that I'm aware of beyond that. In the other, like Bureau of Air Quality, they have a couple of GIS managers and GIS analysts employed there. Bureau of Water Quality has, you know, ground and surface water GIS people and field data collectors. OCRM has a couple. So now, I'm not sure overall the agency, and we've got people out in the regions that are really savvy too with the technology, so I can't really put my finger on exactly what the number is right now. I mean, we serve our software out via Citrix sometimes on desktops, mobile. We've got, really, there's people doing GIS all over the agency right now with access to the software. This is a question that I get a lot, and I help out all sorts of different divisions in the agency. So some of my money's coming from earned revenue from Vital Records, some comes from grants. All my systems are dual use. Not one single system up here is on a system that's dedicated for it. So I have a server in place I'm already serving out web apps on. I throw the GIS software on there. A grant comes up and somebody wants me to do drive time analysis to JCO certified stroke facilities. They purchase the $10,000 extension that I need to do that on a web-based environment. My overall maintenance bill for GIS software in a year in my area, software, data, whatever, is probably about $30,000, I suppose. How much I've spent over time building all my servers, my applications and everything, it's really hard to tell because everything is dual use. I just don't ever have one system that's dedicated to one thing. So wherever the money's coming from, I'll design that system, but I'll plug a whole bunch of other systems on the same architecture so that I get the most use out of it. All the way in back. Users outside of our agency. Well, the scan system is used by researchers, academics all over the place. People use it for their regional operational plans. Those are still in the agency. I get calls from California, from other countries of people that use the system. Well, say the sheltering system, that's used by the general public to find what shelter to evacuate to. It's used by county emergency managers, Department of Social Services, American Red Cross. Critical data sheet system used by every hospital or nursing home in any of the coastal counties. There's the scan system alone, I think in the average year, gets about 5 million hits. Anybody that knows anything about web-based mapping, one person tooling around on one map could generate 80 to 100 hits pretty easily. So, unique IPs, I think something like, 400,000 or 500,000. But again, that doesn't mean anything because somebody could access it from their computer at work and their computer at home and their computer at their friends. So we have a lot of users and we get feedback from them all the time, and they range from, high level of expertise to just the casual user. We see that people are generating data and statistics that would have never taken the time to go to a data book or somewhere else to get it before. So I think we're generating consumers of the systems that never would have taken the time to do it beforehand. They're just kind of, what's the heart disease death rate in my neighborhood? We don't actually have a heart disease death rate for their neighborhood, but we have it for that county, which is good enough for them.